That was beautiful, choir. I had a vision of where am I to go? And he finally says, here am I, send me. And it's a good prayer for all of us. Well, today is Reformation Sunday, as I said before. The word reform means to change, to make something new, to examine it. And a few weeks ago, I told you that Jack had sent me an email regarding the findings of a national polling company called Pew. And I told you that he had said that the findings are that fewer and fewer Americans are religious or are attending church. And I rebutted that in a book that I've been reading by Rodney Stark called The Triumph of Christianity, where he argues that it is measured, that Christianity can be measured by behavior instead of church attendance. And that polls decidedly suggest that people are as religious as ever, quoting behaviors such as prayer and the belief in life after death. He writes this. He writes, it is close to the truth to say that almost no one goes to church in the Scandinavian nations. About one person out of 20 or even fewer attends weekly. But it is equally true to say that no one admits to being an atheist. Again, about one in 20 report that. In all of but Sweden, the majority of Scandinavians identify themselves as a quote, religious person, and even in Sweden, 62% of the population say they pray. Well, I got to be thinking about that with Reformation Sunday coming up. And I thought, you know, it's interesting that people pray. I meet them all the time. But who do they pray to? Does it matter? Are you sending a voice out into the universe hoping that it connects somewhere to someone at some time for some reason? Or is there a belief that surrounds who you're praying to? Is there a platform of study that suggests that we have a person that we know the history of, that we know the calling of, that we know care about us, that we pray with and for? We find that person in the words of Scripture. Karl Barth famously had this to say about Scripture. He said, Scripture is so deep that no man can reach the bottom of it. It is like a bottomless sea of new information. And I can testify that I find new things in the Bible all the time, even with a doctorate in theological education. New things emerge for me in new situations. How many can testify to that? That's an important factor in our faith journeys. But he says also that same body of water is so shallow that a child can wade into it. The truth of God's love is simple. So simple that it's hard for us not to understand that anyone can pray. But it is important that we continue to look at who we're praying too. And so I come to the word that I chose for today. It's found in John chapter 1. It's the famous call that Jesus gives to people. Beginning in verse 29, hear the word of the Lord. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John testified, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, Look, here is the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, Who are you looking for? And they said to him, Rabbi, which translates as teacher. Where are you staying? And he said to them, Come and see. In some way, through some person or some event in our lives, most of us are here because someone has said, Come and see. It might be our parents, it might be a friend, it might be a neighbor, it might have been at a Billy Graham rally. Somebody's said, Come and see. They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and then said to him, We have found the Messiah, which translates the Anointed One. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. May God bless the reading of his word. Will you pray with me? Lord God, each one of us have received some kind of invitation. And on this reforming Sunday, may you give us new insights into what that invitation means for our lives, for the lives of our neighbors, for the lives of our family. Open us to the same awe and shock that Peter was open to, that Andrew was open to. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Jesus invites us to come and see. Have you ever been invited someplace? It's kind of fun, isn't it? You know, sometimes there's a new way you can do travel. And I discovered it while I was on my sabbatical. It's called Airbnb. Anybody ever done an Airbnb? They're incredible. They're a lot cheaper than a hotel, because for the same money, you'd probably get a Motel 6. We went to Vancouver with another couple, and we rented a little small cottage in Vancouver. And we had a ball right in the center of the city. We felt like locals. We went out doing stuff. You know, that way of travel is a new idea. The company was conceived, I don't know if you know this, but by some people who threw a mattress in their apartment in San Francisco. Because the prices continued to hike so much, they put it on in newspapers. Come be with us. They then created the Airbnb. It was actually called airbedandbreakfast.com, written initially. But I can testify, because you have so much more at your beck and hand when you're in somebody's home. Plates are there. I can make my own coffee. It's a very different experience, and you feel like you're being invited in. That's what Jesus does. Jesus invites people in. Jesus says, Where are you staying? And then he says, Come and see. I mean, the disciples ask him, Where are you staying? And he says, Come and see. And I wonder what Jesus' guest house would have looked like. Was he renting an Airbnb? Because he certainly didn't own homes. He probably, like many good Jewish boys, lived with his parents until he was 30. But he did have a place in Capernaum. And he invites somebody to come in and spend time with him and get to know him. A time in which Jesus is the host. That's unusual in his ministry. Jesus was an itinerant preacher. He moved around. He did things in different places, in different ways. But it's interesting that Jesus says to these young men who catch his attention, come and see. What would you look to see if you were invited into Jesus' abode, his Airbnb? When you think about that, you got to think, first of all, wow, if I were Jesus' guest, how would I act? I mean, I guess wine would be no problem. You know, as long as we had some water to make him do his work. And there'd be bread probably in Jesus' place, so we're probably good there. I wonder if we'd find Grandma's Bible there. Maybe, would it be dusted off? Would it be used? I don't know. What if Jesus is the host? What if that happens? Is there some place that we can see that Jesus hosts people? Yeah, there is. In Scripture, there are three times where he is the host. The first is in Capernaum. Come and see are the things he says. That's it. Come and see. Have you ever said that to somebody about church? Come and see. Come and see the fun. You know, yesterday was fun here. Because Emily short-sheeted that experience. How many came to the bazaar yesterday? There are a few of us, yeah. And it was totally people outside the church. There were very few people. But she got online and invited people who had all kinds of different strange crafts to come and display their work on our facility, so that people could see that a church is something more than a preached sermon. It's a body of believers that share life with one another. Jesus says, come and see. We welcome people. We don't coerce, we commend. We don't impose, we invite. We don't wrestle and wrangle, we welcome. We don't threaten, we don't tempt and tease. We don't make fun of others. We simply love. You know, to be a Christian, I continue to love reading dense books as well as simple books on the Christian experience. But you're not a Christian, you're not more of a Christian if you can explain the Apostles' Creed or you know the Westminster Confession. You're not more of a Christian because you're going to heaven or heaven is coming to earth. You're not more of a Christian because you go to church regularly. But what does it do to your life? Does it enliven you to think about God caring? Does it help you to love better? Does it help you to get rid of the grumpies a little more easily? We're called to go and prepare. You know, Jesus looks at the disciples. He says, you go and prepare a room for the Passover. Where are you going to prepare? In what way are you going to prepare for Jesus to become more dynamic in your life and the life of those you love and those you meet and those you like? That that's what Hope Ministry's all about. You see their little thing? They're there simply to artistically invite people in outside of a church domain to witness the joy of love in various ways that Christ brings us to. So we are called to go and prepare. The disciples were called to go and prepare the second meal. And we do that. What ways do you do that? I put a little pad outside. It's a really simple little street. You can get it on the table in the back if you're interested. It's how to invite somebody to come to church. Some little simple do's and don'ts that you can use to ask them to be a part of something that I feel enriches our lives. And so many people here feel the same way. They find that they express Jesus' love more in the expression of a community. And then the final time that Jesus dines with people, he becomes the host. You know where that is? On the beach of Capernaum. He's been resurrected. And the fishermen are out fishing because they are sorrowful. They don't know what's going on. Is he alive? We think we saw him. But what do we do now? And there from the shore, Jesus is roasting a little fish. And he says, come. He says, come and dine with me. You know, that's what Jesus continues to do to people. But I guess just like Airbnbs, churches need to be judged. How are we doing? How are we doing with God's mission that he has given us? The church is notably reformed, but it's always reforming. So like an Airbnb, you might be asked to rate the experience you had. How would you rate your involvement with church? Would it be 5 stars? Would it be just 3 stars? Or would it be no stars? You see, how you experience it is how others will experience it. Does it enrich your life? It definitely enriches mine. Otherwise, I would not have gone to the trouble of getting a theological master's and gone back for a doctorate, because I was very happy being a teacher, working at a children's home. And if you'd asked me at that time if I would ever be in the pulpit, I'd have said, you're crazy. But God works in mysterious ways. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, continue to walk with us as we seek to serve you and know you. Help us to understand that you are a host in our lives to provide for people who need love, who need attention, who need care. Help us this week to rise to that calling. In Jesus' name, amen.